Well, good morning. Not sure what a compact and a Nerf dart are doing, but I have a pretty good idea, Jake. You know, I agree, Dan, that we're probably going to, Congress is going to have to pass some kind of a resolution. I'm sure that it's going to be a big deal, and there might even be a tax associated with it, and about the 2010 or the 2010 tax, but you probably have to pay a certain amount each month or on your income tax to be able to call it, you know, whatever. But, you know, that seems like the kind of thing that that Congress is going to have to get involved with, just to make sure that everything is, you know, done correctly and up to standard. One announcement that I do want to make before I go into the sermon this morning is we have planned a evangelism workshop that's scheduled for January 30th and 31st. That's a Saturday and a Sunday at the end of January. It's the last weekend of the month. And Robert Cox, some of you may remember, was here last year, did a tremendous job, and we're asking him to come back, and he's going to do another evangelism weekend where, you know, where he's going to talk to us on Saturday morning, you know, kind of in a workshop style about evangelism and leading people to the Lord. And also on Sunday morning, he will be here for our Sunday morning adult classes. And our and he will preach that Sunday morning as well, and it'll be just a big evangelism weekend. So be preparing for that. That is January the 30th and 31st. That's a Saturday and a Sunday, and be thinking of people that you can target to be here, because it will be an opportunity for them to hear, you know, the gospel that they hear every week while, you know, every week we're here. But it'll be, you know, maybe some fresh insights and presented by someone else. Robert Cox will be here January 30th and 31st. Please, please, please mark your calendars to be here. As we enter into the this new year, and we talked last week about finishing strong and about living a life that is the life that God wants us to live, and how we do that every day. And if we want to, if we want to finish the year strong, if we want to finish a decade strong, then we have to live each and every day in order to do that. We have to put 1 minute in front of another that adds up to an hour, that adds up to another day of living the life God has wanted us to live. And this morning, as we look forward to a new year, a year that's full of hope and full of optimism and full of potential, and maybe it's full of a lot of things, we have to think, what does it look like for us to prepare for the future? For us to be people who are preparing for the future that God has in store for us. If you look in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 13, here the Bible says, God says to Joshua, tell the people to consecrate themselves in preparation for tomorrow. Now, the context of this scripture is not a very good context. Joshua is going to have all of the people of Israel present themselves before God, because there is some severe, serious sin that's going on in the camp. If you remember, they had just conquered Jericho, and they were told to do specific things with the consecrated items, to do specific things. And Achan, a guy who, a member of the nation of Israel, he saw some stuff he wanted to keep, so he took it instead of destroying it like he was supposed to, and he hid it in under the ground under his tent. Now, that's bad. Now, none of, you know, that doesn't really relate to any of us. I don't think that any of us have any of the consecrated items of Jericho hidden in the crawl spaces of our houses. If we do, you know, that's a problem. But so God said, you know, Achan isn't supposed to do that. He disobeyed God. So the people are going to have to present themselves before God. And God says to them, when you're presenting yourselves to me, consecrate yourselves, make yourselves holy, make yourselves pure, prepare yourselves in order to be in my presence. Now, take that context, flash it forward all the way to us here today in a Romans 12 and one kind of way, where it says to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The way that we are to live is before God. is presented, presenting ourselves before God. So as we are preparing for the future, Joshua 7 and 13 needs to be kind of a pivotal verse, maybe just kind of a catchphrase verse that we need to be people who are preparing ourselves for tomorrow. Preparing ourselves to be in the presence of God. If we are truly going to be kingdom citizens, if we are truly going to live every single day of every single minute of every single day as kingdom citizens, understanding that regardless of where we are in the presence of God as subjects in His kingdom, then we should constantly be people who are preparing ourselves for the future, preparing ourselves for the presence of God. Now, as we do that, we can spend a lot of time talking about what it looks like to prepare ourselves, what it looks like to live the life that God has called us to live. This morning, instead of talking about what we need to do, because I think if I sent around a questionnaire and said, what do you need to do to be the kind of person that God needs you to be? For each one of us, it would probably look a lot differently. Some of us, our days are structured completely different. Our opportunities are completely different. You see, Denning has an opportunity to glorify God a whole lot differently than I do. For him to live as a kingdom citizen, it would be to treat each one of the patients that he gives physical therapy to as a precious and dearly loved child of God. Now, that's not what I'm supposed to do every day, because nobody wants me giving them physical therapy. For Donna, it would be to what do you need to do to live the life, to be the kingdom citizen that you need to be? Well, it's to manage my teachers in a way that glorifies God and to treat all the students that I come in contact with as dearly loved children of God. That's not what I'm supposed to do because I'm not a principal. You see, each one of us have different things that we are to do in order to be kingdom citizens. So this morning, I'm not going to talk about what we need to do, but what I want to talk about are foolish mistakes to avoid. What it is that we need to steer clear of in order to accommodate preparing ourselves for the future. Preparing ourselves for every single day. The first thing, and if you got your order of worship, turn it over and there's an outline you can follow along and write in the blanks and when you get home you can study it and maybe memorize it and we'll all have just the best year we've ever had. But the first foolish mistake that we need to avoid if we are going to be kingdom citizens and live every day in His presence is useless worrying about the future. In Matthew 6 and 27, we've already read this morning that, don't worry about what you're going to do. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about all of the things that we find ourselves worrying about. You know, it seems as though some of us are preparing for an Olympic event called worry. You know, we are a lot of times as Christians, even though we serve a risen Savior. I mean, we've all been to funerals where they read out of 1 Thessalonians says, we should not mourn as those who have no hope. We all know that verse, but it seems as though we are the Michael Phelps of worry, swimming in it, and we're just doing a marvelous job of worrying sometimes. But God calls us in His Word that we've already heard this morning. I do not worry about your life. Right there, that sums it up. He doesn't have to go along and say, don't worry about this and don't worry about that. Now, He gives us some specifics. But at the very beginning of this paragraph, He says, don't worry about your life. You know, it's interesting that when you get a new appliance like a washer. We had to get a new, washer not too long ago because for one, you've heard me say, we wash clothes like it's an Olympic event for real. I mean, that's what we do at our house. Four kids, two adults, just constantly washing clothes. Well, I think something got hung somewhere and anyway, it's like a little paper clip or something got hung in the motor or whatever and it just started not working correctly. And if you look in the owner's manual of this washer, it says to empty your pockets before you put stuff in the wash. Well, now, and I'm casting no aspersions upon my wife whatsoever, because when you're washing 49 pairs of pants a day, she's not going to go through and check every single pocket. But that's the rule when you're, for washing clothes. Check the pockets. You know what that book doesn't say? It doesn't say make sure you've removed all the paper clips, all the G.I. Joes, the Star Wars figures, the dolls, the marbles. It doesn't give you a laundry list of things to remove. It says make sure there's nothing in the pockets. You do the math on that. You know what Jesus says? You know what? Don't worry about your life. You do the math. What's encompassed in don't worry about your life? Income? Lack of it? Food? Clothing? Shelter? Family? Friends? Life? Death? You don't worry about your life. He says, look, if you want to have the life, if you want to consecrate yourself, if you want to have the future that God has planned for you, if you want to live in His presence, don't worry. You know what He says? He goes on in verse 30 and 33. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, He talks about how beautiful it is and how adorned it is, which is here today and thrown in the fire. Will He not much more clothe you? He gives us a specific. He says, oh, you of little faith. You see what Jesus is saying? He's like, you know, he turns this thing we call worry into what it really is. You see, worry is a lack of trust. If we want to be people who are prepared for the presence of God, then we need to understand that what we do comes from more than just our desire to do something. If we want to worry, it's because we don't trust God. Let's call it what it is. Let's call it what it is so that we can deal with it and purge it from our spiritual lives. He says, look, if you find yourself worrying, it's not good enough just to say, well, stop doing that. He says, then maybe you need to spend more time in the presence of God, more time depending on God. Put yourselves in position to see the hand of God at work so that your faith may grow. Because worry is a lack of trust. So there's a way to live. There's a way to live wise. The answer, if we want to rid ourselves of useless worrying about the future, live wisely. Trust God. Be the kind of person. Look at verse 33 in the same passage. He goes on to say that, you know, you of little faith, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The pagans run after all this, but he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Isn't that what I just said? Live a life dependent on God. Practice trusting God. He says, seek first His righteousness. Seek first His kingdom. When we do that, it says, all of these things will be given to you. He said, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. All of these things will be given to you as well. Does that mean that if we seek the kingdom of God and we are righteous people that just will win the lottery and we'll have we'll just have an abundance? Absolutely not. What it means is that we will have a perspective on this life to realize that we have nothing to worry about. If we do not have, Paul says, I've learned to be content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in prison or whether free. But be wise and trust God. You see, when we trust, we understand that God will make sure that we have nothing to worry about. You know, when even when things go wrong, we have nothing to worry about. One of the things I want to say, when we get ready to go somewhere in the car, you know what my kids never ask? Do you have enough gas? Do you know the way? You know why? They've been with me long enough to know I'm going to take care of things. Even if we run out of gas, which we did about a month ago. I'm riding around in Vicky's van. It's got one of those idiot lights, you know, that comes on. And bing! And an idiot bell. Bing! You're out of gas. You know what I did? I kept on going. Oh, I was too busy. I do much things to do. Couldn't just stop and get gas. I couldn't drive all the way to Rusty's, Drewski, whatever, and get gas. So we ran out of gas right over there. Right across the street from right next to the pediatrician's office. We could see the gas station. It was funny. They laughed. They made fun of me. They weren't worried about things. They knew. They knew I was going to take care of it. You know what I did? I called my wife. Hey, honey, bring the gas can. And then when I couldn't fit the gas can nozzle into the thing and get it because it wasn't big enough and there was a problem, and you know, they thought that was funny too. They never worried because they knew dad's going to figure out a way to get this in there, and we're going to go down the road and we're going to get done. I found an old Gatorade bottle. I cut this, poured it, and, you know, figured it out. Got us, you know, I mean, not a rocket science or anything, but, you know, got us to the gas station. Even when things go, if we trust God, even when the market tanks, we don't have to run around like pagans worrying. Even when our jobs are lost, even when our relationships are crumbling, we know we have nothing to worry about. Prepare yourselves for tomorrow. Foolish mistakes to avoid. Number two, arrogant assuming. Not only should we not worry, but we shouldn't assume that everything will be okay. In Proverbs 27:1, he says, don't boast about tomorrow. You have no idea what it's going to bring. You see, if we just walk around and we're arrogant about the way things are and about the way that things are going to be, and we, you know, what that really is trusting our circumstances. He said, look, don't brag and boast. Don't depend on the way things are, because you have no idea what tomorrow is going to look like. You have no idea financially, health-wise, relationships. Don't be arrogant and assume and set yourself up for disappointment and failure. In Isaiah 56:12, he talks about people, foolish people, that are arrogantly assuming about tomorrow. And they say, you know, hey, let us drink. Let us get our fill of wine and of beer and of do all these things, because tomorrow is going to be even better than today. Arrogantly assuming that the circumstances that we are a part of now are going to be the same circumstances that we're a part of tomorrow only leads to disappointment. Only leads to the lack of trust, because when that falls apart, we have no one to blame but God, because it certainly isn't our fault. And in James 4:14-16, he talks about the exact same kind of people. A man who says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to do some business. I'm going to be the, you know, just tomorrow is no big deal. I'm not going to worry about anything, because my circumstances are going to stay the same. Talks about why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. This is, now listen to, you're saying tomorrow we'll do this, we'll go to this city or that city, spend a year here carrying on business, making money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Then in 16 he says, as it is, you boast and you brag, and all such boasting and bragging is evil. You see, because the simple fact of the matter is that everything will not be okay. Not everything in our life is going to stay the same. Not everything is going to be just sunshine and roses all the time. Now, I'm not preaching a gloom and doom sermon. You've heard this, but the fact of the matter is that we all live this. We all know we live in a broken world, and we're surrounded by broken people, and we ourselves are broken. Not everything's going to be okay. God is saying it is foolishness. It is arrogance to live that way, thinking that just all our circumstances will just carry over to the next day, especially when they're good. You know, it's a sin to think that I will always be under the wrath of God, or under the you know, this dark cloud when things are going bad. It's a sin to think that it's always going to be this way. Doesn't God say, though, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? He doesn't say I live there. He says I'm walking through it. So we don't need to assume that everything's just going to always be bad when things are bad. He says don't always assume that things are going to be rosy when things are rosy, because it doesn't work that way. We live in a broken world. He says be wise. Prepare for all the circumstances. Now, I just got through saying don't worry, and now you're saying prepare for things that are going to... There's a difference between worrying about it and preparing for it. You see, Proverbs 22:3 tells us that a wise man looks ahead. You know, we can't see the hour, as Al said. We don't know when you know, my time is up. I don't know. None of us know when Jesus is going to return. None of us know when the end. None of us knows when certain things are going to happen. But you know what? We know a little bit ahead. We can look ahead and say, you know what? Like right now at 38, I'm looking ahead and saying, you know what? I don't want my retirement plan. You know what the retirement plan for preachers typically is? Just die with your name on the door. That's how you retire. You know, I'm looking ahead and I'm saying, you know what? I don't want that retirement plan. I know that I'm going to get more mature. I'm going to age a little bit, and I'm going to get to the point like some of my brothers and sisters are, and I'm going to want to not come to work every day. And you know, I see that danger of my thought process thinking, you know, I'm done working. I want to prepare for that. I can see that coming. Now, I'm not going to base all my decisions on the fact that I want to retire one day. I'm not going to base all my financial, all my spiritual, I'm not going to pour everything into that because that would be worrying about it. But I can look ahead and I can see danger. You know what? I can look ahead and see, you know what? There is the potential that I could pass away. I could die early and I want my family taken care of. So you know what I do every month? I pay life insurance. Is that worrying? No, it's preparing. Bible says a wise man looks ahead, sees the danger. I can't see everything, but I can see some things, and I will prepare for those things the best that I can. So instead of being arrogant and assuming that it's always going to be the same, nothing bad's ever going to happen, God says prepare. Don't worry about it, but prepare. There's a third thing, a third mistake that we need to avoid, and that is faulty planning. You see, in James 4 and 13, one of the things I wanted to turn here for us to understand about this, he says, look, in 14 and 16, he says, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go to this city, we're going to go to that city, I'm going to spend about a year, I'm going to do some business, I'm going to do that. You know what he says in verse 13? Look at this. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go do this, or we'll go to this city or to that city, spend a year carrying on business or making money. Oh, so a guy, you know, he's not worried about anything, but he's kind of planning and he's sort of, you know, making kind of lining out a career, and this is what I'm going to do, and this I'm going to do, and this is where I'm going to do it. You notice anything? You know me, y'all. I've been here long enough. Y'all know I'm in love with what the Bible says, and I also respect what it doesn't say. Anybody notice what he doesn't say? He has no mention of God whatsoever in any of his plans. He says, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do this, and this is my plan, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be there. You know, he says, look, instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live, and we'll do this or that. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, look, you need to be on page with God. You need to be in prayer and saying, this is what the Lord's will is for me. If it's the Lord's will, I will do this. If it's the Lord's will, I will do that. The planning that I'm making for myself has nothing to do with what I want. It has everything to do with what God wants. You know what I want for retirement? I want to retire so that I can spend some quality time. I mean, everyday kind of quality time with my posterity, my kids and grandkids, and mentoring and teaching and training them in the ways of God. I want to not have to be tied down to a job so that wherever they live, my kids live, I can go there and spend time studying and praying with my grandkids. That's a retirement dream of mine. You know, I want to be able to spend time. You know what? I don't want to have to get approval from other schedules on whether or not I could go on a mission trip or not. You know, when Earl wants to go on a mission trip, you know who he needs to ask? Tommy. You know, I've got about 50 people I got to clear that with. But see, when you retire, you don't have a job to worry about anymore. You've kind of got the funds on hand and you can do things like that if it's God's will. But you see, faulty planning, planning without prayer is presumption. It's just assuming, oh, this is what I want to do. But God says, no, don't do that. Don't be a part of faulty planning. You see, because in Numbers 14, it's a great story, but it's a tragic story. You know, they're going into the land of Canaan. The spies come back and, oh, we can't do this. Anyway, long story short, they get the right idea. All right, we're going to go and we're going to do what God wants us to do. And Moses says, guys, don't do that. It's a bad idea. But no. They're just dead set on it. And we're going into the land and we're going to take it. And you know what happens? They go in and they get destroyed because they had faulty planning. They didn't consult God. Oh, was it God's will for them to take that land? Yeah, I mean, a roundabout way you could say that. But not then. Not because of what had happened just days and minutes before that. You see, faulty planning is planning anything without God. So live wise. Do your homework. Part of our homework, you see, it's not checking the market. It's not, you know, trying to get the best deal on retirement homes. It's not, you know, it's not even that. You know what our homework is? It's trusting God. It's preparing our lives on what we can see. And it's praying about where, God, what do you want for my life? How do you want me to prepare? How do you want me to live? What are the directions you want me to go? The last foolish mistake, lazy procrastination. You see, for a long time, and this is in my own self-evaluation, in my own, you know, looking in and saying, Shane, what do you need to work on? I come up with this all the time, and it's a joke. You know, oh, I'm procrastinating. I've got a shirt that my wonderful wife bought me that says, what does it say? Procrastinators. Oh yeah, procrastinators unite tomorrow. Exactly. It's funny. But see, I wanted to pick a word that wasn't so funny. You know what other word I was thinking about? But I thought, well, let's just make it a little bit more positive. It's evil. Evil procrastination. Because you see, we take things like worry or we make it, you kind of cartoon it a little bit. Oh, well, you know, it's just... I just worry. You know what we do? We take things like gossip and we make it kind of, oh, well, just, you know, we kind of candy coat over it. We'll take something like procrastination and we'll just make it, oh, that's that preacher's Achilles, you know what? Oh, he's, you know, but no, you know what it is? It's laziness. It's laziness. You know what God calls procrastinators? Remember in Matthew when he's dealing with the talents and he gives some to some, you know, one to this one guy and five here and ten there. And the one guy, he buries it. And he says, you know, I knew. He said, you wicked, lazy servant. Guys, I'm done making a joke out of my laziness. I am done making a joke out of my sin. And my procrastination is not a character flaw. It's not something that just makes me, you know, quirky. You know what it is? It's a sin and I'm done with it. Proverbs 3:27-28 says, look, don't know what you need. Don't go to someone who, you know, somebody comes to you that needs help. Don't, and you've got the means to help them. Don't say, hey, I'll come back tomorrow and I'll help you with that. You know what that says? You know what that proverb says? If you know what you need to do, don't put it off. Don't be lazy. Don't be wicked. Do it now. He says, no more excuses. No more calling at this, it's not that big a deal. I just, you know, I'm procrastinating. I'm busy. I'm this. He says, look. In James chapter 4:17, he calls it like it is. He says, look, if you know the good that you ought to do and you don't do it, look it up in James 4:17 and circle the three-letter word that ends this sentence. If you know what you need to do and you don't do it, you're sinning. It's a sin. It's a sin. It's the enemy of our soul. It separates us from God. It separates us from our Savior. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It quenches His fire within us. And He's saying, be wise. When you find something to do, do it now. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't say, I'll get around to that. I'll, you know, when I'm in a better financial shape, I'll give. When I'm more connected to this congregation, I'll serve. When I get to know this person on a little bit deeper level, I'll meet that need that they have. He says, look, don't be sinning. Don't put it off. Do it now. If you ask my family, and guys, all I know how to do is be transparent. If I'm too personal, I'm sorry. Ask my family. If I did this one thing, if I made this one change, I would be such a better husband. I would be 1,000% better dad. You know, Hyatt wouldn't have had to wait 1.5 years to finish his fort. We had a construction site in our backyard for like 1.5 years because we were building a fort. I gotta be better than that. You know, there are people who come to this congregation, come to this building on a weekly basis. If I fixed this one sin, my relationship with them would be 1,000 times better. They would have help that they don't have because I would be able to plug them in with people that could help them. If we want to consecrate ourselves, if we want to prepare ourselves for the presence of God, we need to avoid these mistakes. We need to trust God. We need to prepare for what we can prepare for so that we can trust God in the meantime. We need to be people of prayer, consulting God, and we need to stop sinning, stop waiting, and do what it is that God, through His Holy Spirit, has placed in our lives to do. Man, what a year we have in store. I don't care if you call it 2010, 2010, 010, whatever. Spell it out longhand. Use Roman numerals. If each of us do what God has prepared for us to do, what an amazing kingdom experience we will all have. For some of us, for some people in this room, it's not necessarily the first thing they need to do to go think about all the kingdom work. But for some of us, the do it now moment is commit to Christ. For some people in this room, that moment is saying, today, right now, I'm not putting it off any longer. I am going to confess Christ is my Savior. I'm going to be buried with Him in baptism today, and everything will be different. If that's where you are this morning, would you let your needs be made known as together we stand and as we sing?